With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Now, music can have such an effect on your mood, but did you know that for some it can actually change their lives? Well, neurological music therapy can improve the quality of life for people who cannot communicate as they used to. And Dr. Shane Cassidy is the founder of Neuralinks, and he's here to fill us in. You're very welcome along to the show, Shane.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Look, we mentioned earlier on the show that it is Aphasia Awareness Month. And before we actually get into neurological music therapy, can you please give an explainer of what aphasia is?
So aphasia is a neurogenic language disorder, primarily as a result of a stroke or brain injury. It can be associated with some of the progressive neurological conditions like Parkinson's or dementia, but the main cause would be stroke or acquired brain injury. And I suppose how it can manifest for people, or how it presents, is a difficulty with some aspect of their communication, whether that be speaking, writing, reading, or their comprehension. Mm. And how it looks for one person can be quite different than the next. I suppose like anything, depending on the severity of it and the severity of their injury. But that ability to communicate, like you say, in the way that they would have previously can be impaired, which is hugely frustrating for people with aphasia, because I think most importantly, intelligibly, like their intelligence levels are at the same level as they were before, so it doesn't impact their intelligence. So they know what they want to say. Their thinking may be the same, but they just don't have the capacity to actually reproduce the words that they're
Is no doubt incredibly frustrating and heartbreaking for everybody to live with. So talk to me then about neurological music therapy. We're going to refer to it as NMT for a little bit. Like, how does this help with aphasia?
Okay, so specifically with aphasia, I think there's two aspects to it, because like you say, it's that huge frustration piece. So what better modality than music to communicate non-verbally, to actually take the pressure off the words? So for people with aphasia, there's obviously so much pressure in trying to find the words, as well as the fatigue associated with having a stroke or acquired brain injury. So that can be just so overwhelming for people. So for part of our sessions, to actually take that pressure off and to allow them just, we can communicate rhythmically, we can communicate through existing songs. So what song will we listen to? What song describes where you're at right now?
Okay.
So that kind of psychosocial, more psychotherapeutic use of music. But then in the kind of more functional, mechanical end of things, we would be working with a lot of our clients in terms of functional phrases. So helping them to actually communicate in their everyday. So it could be something very basic, like I need to go to the toilet, or I want a glass of water. Basic kind of requests that will help, as I say, their activities of daily living. And what we will do is we'll make up melodies that kind of reflect our speech patterns. So as we're speaking, we're still using pitch, we're going up and down, we're working with a person's accent as well. I was recently working with somebody from Cork, and everything at the end had to go up, so the melody was quite high at the end. But you're kind of taking everything, you're taking the person and where they're coming from into consideration, setting, kind of think of a jingle, like a radio jingle that's quite catchy and memorable. That's what we're trying to do. We're setting a functional phrase to melody and rhythm, so that it becomes easier to recall.
Talk to me about other conditions that NMT can help with.
Okay, so a lot of our work would be interdisciplinary, whereby we're working with other members of an interdisciplinary team. So physiotherapy, occupational therapy, psychology, of course, speech and language therapy as well. So for some of our clients, they're coming to work on gait, so their walking training, if they've had, again, an acquired brain injury. We run a weekly Parkinson's group in our clinic in Sandyford, and as part of that we're working on movement as well, balance and gait pattern as well. So it can be quite broad, really, our scope, but I think we're best placed working in conjunction with the other therapists. So even if people are coming to our clinic in Sandyford, we're still linking in with maybe other professionals that they're working with, to kind of support that person.
Well, hand
approach.
In hand.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, you know, you both can, everybody can benefit from having more eyes and ears and people and bodies on this.
Yeah.
But how does a session work? Like, is it passive listening that is going on, or what happens?
No, mostly it's active participation, really. Now, it depends, again, where a person is. So often at the start, it can be kind of easing into that, like, people come, they're a little bit skeptical maybe, or a little bit nervous about, are you going to make me sing? Are you going to make me play an instrument? I'm not a musician. I'm not a singer. And we try and eradicate that like from the get-go, because really it's using music to achieve those non-musical goals, whether it be walking or whether it be speaking. And it doesn't matter how you sound or how you play or anything like that. It's about the outcome that you're working towards. So I think that's the first thing to kind of that we would work on. It depends on the person and what level they're at and where they're at. Sometimes it can be receptive, but generally it's more participatory that they're actually getting involved. So we have very kind of strict protocols and techniques that we're using to work towards, say, speech goals or movement goals.
I honestly have so many questions about this, because it's so fascinating, and I just feel like it's going to help so many people's lives.
Yeah.
But what is it about this that helps repair the brain, like, which is essentially what you are doing?
Yeah. So if there are so many kind of images, and if you look at an fMRI image of a brain, while it's just listening to music, just that receptive piece, there are so many aspects of the brain lit up. There's no other stimulus that they have yet come across that can light up quite so many brain regions as music. So if you think of all the elements of music, like rhythm, timbre, tone, words, like all emotion.
I would even like imagine nostalgia in there as well.
Absolutely.
Kind of as a, yeah, you know, like that would set something off.
Yeah. So we work with people with dementia, and like that, it's amazing what a song can do in terms of triggering memories and that recall. So that's the first, just activating those brain regions. So obviously, if you think about it, somebody has had a stroke or a brain injury, or are living with a neurological condition whereby some part of their brain or several parts of their brain aren't functioning as they used to. But what we can do is, by harnessing the power of the other parts of the brain that music is accessing, we can kind of rebuild the pathways. So say, for example, with aphasia, our language center is mainly on the left-hand side of the brain. So what we can do, we can access the singing center on the right-hand side, and all of a sudden we're kind of rerouting the pathways. Think of the M50 as clogged up. We have to go around the side roads.
Sorry, I'm actually obsessed with this. The left side of your brain is the language center, and then the singing from part is the right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so it's nearly like a backup in a different font.
100%. Yeah, it's a smaller region, but there's so much capacity for that, for language. So it is language capable. Think of singing, you're singing words. So that's kind of the rationale behind it. So we're trying to, I suppose, strengthen those links with the right side.
Oh my God, this is amazing. How can people access this kind of therapy?
So they can get in touch with ourselves. We're on neurolinks.ie is our website, where we have a clinic in Sandyford, as I say. We're on social media. Our email is hello@neurolinks.ie.
Neurolinks anywhere, if you look
Neurolinks
that up,
anywhere,
that's
yeah, exactly.
You.
Yeah.
For people who are living with family members with dementia or conditions like that that affect the memory, like, would you recommend listening to music together? I know that you said that in your sessions that it's very active participant, but would you even recommend listening in a casual kind of a form?
Absolutely. Particularly with people with dementia, what we would often recommend for family members is to actually use music as a kind of a musical marker.
Yeah.
So that orientation to time of day, even having a specific song that you play every morning, so that the awareness of morning time is there. Maybe the same at evening time or meal time, or if there's particularly challenging time of the day, to actually associate a song with that. But I think in terms of listening to music together, 100%, just rebuilding, retracing those memories, and having that little bit of a window after listening to a meaningful song to chat a little bit about their experience of that song. Was it a wedding song? Was it when they were in school?
Was it a festival?
It's amazing.
Or a gig,
it just opens up this kind of window of opportunity to reconnect.
Even the thoughts there of like that, something very simple that people can implement into their day is having the song in the morning or the evening. I would have never have thought of something like that, just to differentiate of where you are. Yeah,
and like for anyone, that's, we use that a lot with patients who might be in prolonged disorders of consciousness or very low level of consciousness, or people with dementia. But it's kind of applicable to everybody, really, even people with challenging behavior, that kind of thing. Like, just that it's a punctuation for the day.
God, it is, like, I mean, music is absolutely phenomenal. We bang on about it here so often,
of course,
because it means so much to us, clearly, but like to everybody else too. But to know that it can actually heal and
to use
help
it in a different way, exactly.
It's just, it's unbelievable. You guys have a free event this week in Dublin. Tell me all about it, and where is it, and how can people get involved?
So on Friday morning, 11 a.m, we're going to be in the Talbot Hotel in Stillorgan. And like yourself, like, a lot of people are intrigued by it. They want to know more, like, what does a session look like? Why would we go to music therapy? So we're going to present our work at Neuralinks. We're going to have some case studies there as well, some video examples. We're also going to let attendees kind of get involved and kind of experience some of the techniques that we would frequently use in our sessions at Neuralinks.
And I'm not sure if you can, tell me any of this, but if you are able, is there any case study that like stands out for you that is
so
just
many.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you be able to share any of them?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, so we often get consent from clients to share stories, because it is that, you know, it's quite a powerful story. So for example, one lady recently, she had quite extreme aphasia and had no capacity to verbalize any words, not even yes, no responses.
Okay.
So what we realized was there was also a psychological aspect to it. So she was extremely anxious and stressed and frustrated. So we kind of, like I was saying earlier, took the pressure off the words. So we were doing quite a lot of music mindfulness, a lot of breathing techniques. And then we moved that into the more mechanical end of things. So working out the muscles, the facial muscles, the throat muscles through various vocal techniques. And then we got her to a stage where she was saying yes or no.
Oh my God.
Now, when I first met her, she had a communication board. So she was, everything was kind of pointing at various images for requesting different things. And we just extended and expanded on that. And it was actually staggering. Like, she was the talk of the facility that she was in. Because all of a sudden she was saying people's names. And
Oh my God.
Yeah. And just being able to communicate. And I met her quite recently again, and she has no communication board. She is speaking with those around her. She's ordering her coffee at the coffee shop. She's able to be independent, really.
Shane, that has to just genuinely be the greatest feeling of all time, to see that it's changed somebody's life and brought them back
again.
Absolutely.
Like,
amazing
stuff. It's so rewarding there.
Yeah. If it was a case of, you know, someone's family member, could they reach out for Neuralinks as well?
Absolutely.
On behalf of them?
We actually do a lot of work with families, and we get families involved in sessions like that. If somebody has had a catastrophic injury, they kind of have to reconnect in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of support families with that, and that new way of being together, a new way of communicating. So we'd often have siblings or children or grandchildren or spouses in sessions as well.
Oh, this is genuinely life-changing work. Shane, thank you so much for coming in with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Dr. Shane Cassidy, the founder of Neuralinks. You can, of course, check out neuralinks.ie if you want to see what they've got on. They've got a free event this Friday morning if you want more information on everything. And if you do want to find out more, you can email hello@neuralinks.ie.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.